It's good to see you all here as we celebrate the solemnity of the Assumption. Sometimes people will ask, you know, why do we have holy days of obligation? Well, it's not to create an extra burden, but really it's an opportunity to celebrate our faith and to focus on perhaps a particular saint or an event or just a teaching of our church that's essential to our faith. The other importance, especially if today is, it gives us the opportunity to ponder that ours is a living faith. You may have had someone ask you, you know, where do you find this or that in the Bible? Well, we don't find the idea or the actual technical event, the Assumption, in the Bible. We don't. But if we look at the whole picture, we do. It's sort of like we don't find the word Trinity in the Bible, but the whole picture, the teaching is there. We don't find the word sacrament, but the teaching, the whole picture is there. And so it is. So that's part of having a living faith. We look, though, at what we do have in the Gospels, albeit brief passages concerning our Blessed Mother, but very important. We hear in our Gospel of how she had been chosen from the very first moment of her life, her conception, to be the mother of our Savior. Through her, Jesus, true God, would become true man. In the Annunciation, Archangel Gabriel recognizes her as full of grace, free of all sin, even original sin. We hear then of how Mary is always the one who's going to present Jesus to others, bring others to Jesus. So whether we think of today at the Visitation, she's bringing Jesus, although in her womb, to visit Elizabeth, who is pregnant with John the Baptist, or we think later of shepherds and magi and others, Mary always was the faithful disciple making our Lord known. She's the one who intercedes for Jesus to perform that first miracle at Cana, even though it really wasn't his time yet. She's the faithful disciple who stood at the foot of the cross, bearing witness to the faith. Although her heart as mother was breaking, her faith as disciple was in the sacrifice that brought redemption and the resurrection that would bring the promise of everlasting life. She's the faithful disciple who was there at Pentecost when the Holy Spirit descended upon the apostles. And so, you put the whole picture together. Should we not then deduce that at the end of her life, this woman who was prepared to be intimately involved in our Lord's life would have those promises of everlasting glory, a body, soul, glory in heaven fulfilled in her? Now, keep in mind, if we look at the gospel or the first passage from Revelation, here is another part of the big picture. Look ahead. So presumably, Mary's already in heaven. St. John, writing about the year 70 now, has this vision, which we call the Apocalypse, the Book of Revelation. He sees heaven open. He sees the temple and the Ark of the Covenant. Remember, in the Old Testament, the Ark of the Covenant held the Ten Commandments, some of the manna from the desert experience, and the priestly staff of Aaron. Well, isn't... And then right after those verses, he sees the woman bearing the child. Now, this is like an event that transcends time. It's like a revelation that is everlasting. What's he really see? He sees Mary because she is the temple, the ark, who held Jesus in her womb. Jesus fulfilled the commandments. He's the Word of God. Jesus is the bread of life come down from heaven in the Eucharist. Jesus is the priest who offered the sacrifice. Put it all together. So you think of what is the preliminary setting the stage of Mary's life. You think of the apocalyptic scene that St. John has. We can conclude, guided by the Holy Spirit, that Mary was taken, body and soul, to everlasting life in heaven. This, though, gives us hope because it gives us proof that if we are faithful when we pass from this life, yes, our soul will face judgment. We may go through that period of purification and purgatory, but then one day enter heaven. At the end time, though, there will be that resurrection of the body, when a glorified body will be united to those faithful in heaven. Why is this important? Because Christ, true God, became true man, to become one like us, to redeem us as a whole person, so that as a whole person, we will be able to share everlasting life in heaven. So we rejoice this day. This day we honor the gift of faith that we've received, given to us, revealed to us by our Savior. We honor our Blessed Mother Mary, and we have hope that being faithful in this life, being that faithful disciple as Mary was, we will share everlasting life in heaven. May God bless you.